Well, good morning. Oh, mercy. What a week, right? You're going to end up, and in this coming week is Thanksgiving week, and we have so much to be thankful for. Maybe some rain, maybe some cool weather that'll get the no-see-ums that fly around at the house every now and then gone. But Thanksgiving. This year, Brother Curtis, you're going to have to quit blinking, because the more Brother Ernie mentions it, and the faster the think the year goes by.
I'm not going to mention it anymore.
It has flown. It seems like just yesterday that we came back to Bexley, and it's been almost a year, and there has been so much that has been done in that year. So much has happened in the life and growth of the church. Not because of us, but because of all of you and what God's done through each one of you. Thanksgiving. It always is something this time of year. Christmas doesn't bother me so much, but Thanksgiving. I think about all the times that things have happened in my life, things that have happened in the life of our family, in the life of our ministry, in our extended family, and I have to be thankful for those that we still have, because some have gone on, some real powerhouses have gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm thankful that some of those are still here that I get to talk to and visit with and still shape my life. But I was trying to think on what to speak on this morning. I've only got to preach a couple of themed sermons around holidays, and so I'm thinking, okay, Thanksgiving. That should be simple, right? Well, I was reminded of a story I heard on the radio this week, because I've done some traveling, and it was about two guys, and most of you know where I'm going with this, because they were cutting through a pasture to take a shortcut, right? And they get in this pasture, and they get walking across, and they're a long ways from a fence, but there's a bull out there. And if you work cows like I do and live on a cattle farm, you know that those cows don't usually appreciate that all the time. And this particular bull got after the two guys that was taking the shortcut. And as they were running across the field, one of them yelled out, "I'm praying. You need to lift up a prayer, John. That bull's about to catch up with us." But John answered back, "I can't. I've never been a religious man." He said, "Well, it don't matter, but you need to do something." He said, "Well, I'll pray. The only prayer that I remember is the one my father said at the table on Thanksgiving. O Lord in heaven, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Amen." y'all, I had to pull over and write that down. I'm like, man, that is too good to have for a Thanksgiving sermon this week. Oh, mercy. That's not quite what I was had in mind for being thankful, but my little brother and I have been chased by the cows and the bull out of the field many a time, and so has Felicia. And if you want to hear that story, that's for another time. I will make time to tell you, because it is funny. It involves a hay ring and her riding it across the field. But I'm thankful. My wife is a farm girl. She loves it. I love it. But I've never been more thankful for a cow when we work them than when that steak flops on the plate, right? That's when I'm really thankful. Well, let's start off with a prayer, since I skipped it earlier. Father God, I just lift up to you today in thanksgiving for each person that's here. Lord, for those that are here in spirit, I just ask that you would help each one of us, Lord. Help this message to resonate in our heart and mind, Lord, because you've given it to me, and I just ask for a smooth delivery. Lord, take care of our kids as they're in the back practicing for Christmas. Lord, help them to sing loud and to sing proud and to worship you with all their heart, mind, body, and soul. Father, I thank you for this day, and I just ask for your words in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to look at the book of Psalms. So if you would, thumb over to Psalm 100. And in typical Brian fashion, my stomach is growling. So it'll probably show up. But Psalm 100 in verse 1, it says, "To make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." Verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." What a promise, right? Man, there is no way that we could ever, in our terms, in our vocabulary, thank him for everything that he has ever done for us. We see in this psalm that we're to approach God with a heart full of gratitude and praise. But sometimes we have a little issue with that. I do. I'm going to be really transparent during this because it has really worked on me this week. The gates and courts that he's referring to are entering God's presence and expressing thanks to see as the proper way to begin worship. We're thankful. And we should have gladness whenever we worship. At a church that we were at, when we departed here to get ready to prepare to go to the mission field, the church that we were at, I would always laugh because the choir had the biggest grin on their face. And the more I thought about it, you know, I would watch the music minister, and he's up there, and he's making his moves, and he's doing this. Sing with joy. Sing with gladness. And I'll never forget those days because they have lasted with me. They've stuck with me. But today we're going to look at three different ways that we can enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his presence with thanksgiving. The first one is what we've just finished. We've entered his gates with our worship. As we lift our voices in praise to worship, in worship to God, it's a pleasing sound to him. It says to make a joyful noise. So often there are church people who just reside in a pew. And I've fallen guilty to this. If I don't know the song, I won't sing it. I won't even attempt it. I love you, but I won't attempt it because I don't want to. I feel like I may mess it up because I know where I sit, Brother Curtis is listening to me. But at the same time, I don't want to mess it up because in my brain, I'm thinking I'm messing this up to God. I can't do that. I know that. That's something we can't screw up if we're making an effort. But often we just reside in the pew and we sit or we stand and we don't sing, we don't participate, we just let everybody else do it. Even the motions this morning from the kids is singing and is worship. I talk with my hands a lot. It's my way of, it's my form of worship, it's my form of encountering God. We teach our children to sing and participate. They're back there now, and they're singing those Christmas songs. They're doing their little motions. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, a couple of those songs will bring tears to your eyes because it's such a moving song. It's something that I've told the kids that the object of our Christmas program is to leave Brother Larry with no message to preach afterward. And that is, we want to be, not to dominate, but we want to dominate that day. We want to lift our voices and sing. So it doesn't matter, you know. Some people say, and I've been told, when we moved to Montana, I was told, you will never be able to start a church because you sound like a hillbilly hick. And I told them, I said, I sound like I'm from Loosedale, Mississippi. And this is how we sound, and we're the Bible Belt, and there are people that will come in a Walmart store from four aisles over to see where the redneck's at. Tell me that's not church planning. Tell me that's not drawing people to me, right? So, you know, it doesn't matter what we sound like. If we feel like we look funny, and that's what I tell the kids, if you feel like you look funny or sound funny, if you can't sing a song, that's all right. As long as we make an attempt and participate, that's what pleases God, is our attempt. He gave us our voices. Felicia will tell you quick, I can't sing. My voice is awful. But here's the deal. God gave you that voice. It doesn't matter if you sound like a songbird or if you make the hounds wail. Right? So, He gave us that. Our obedience to Him is caused to sing and lift up the words of each song, each hymn, whether it's modern music or out of that hymn book or even out of that little red one that I can't see the words in because my eyes are bad. It's lifting up praises to Him. It's sometimes going down the road, and this is going to be a bad thing, but sometimes going down the road, it's a concert in the truck, right? Look, I've got videos from some of the kids in here that you parents have sent, and they're just singing at the top of their lungs. The music's jamming. My music's jamming in my truck. It's playing wide open, and sometimes there's just that song, right? I listen to K-Love a lot, or I'll stream Air One, and there's that song, and it'll hit. And I feel myself driving down the road looking like an idiot in a state vehicle with tears in my eyes because the song just gripped me a certain way. Or it may have been an experience that I just had where I made a stop, or I've had to deal with a situation and it just hit wrong, or it hit in a way that was convicting, I guess would be the better way to say that. And I have to thank God for what He's done. And He just impresses messages on us. It don't have to be out of the Bible. It can be impressed off of the radio. But that spirit of worship is there. And in that moment, when we are at our lowest point, at our most vulnerable, with tears in our eyes, worshiping, trying to drive down the road, we find ourselves entered through that gate. We find ourselves walking into the presence of God. And that's when I don't worry anymore if I've got tears in my eyes and it's hard to see and I'm driving down the road. Because I know God's got it. He's right there with me. And He's right there with you. As you ride, as you walk, as you work in the house, as you whatever you do, He's there. Waiting on your praise. Waiting on your worship. The next way is with our service. Many of you help in various ministries here at the church, Sunday school, outpost, children's church, maintenance. That list goes on and on and on because, you know, it's a small country church. Everybody does everything, right? And what a blessing it is. And, you know, you'll all show up in a couple of weeks for that Thanksgiving and Christmas meal. And, man, it'll just be, makes my mouth water just thinking about it already. And that's your service to the church and to your church family. But there are so many opportunities to serve. Psalm says to serve with gladness. I've served in churches before where it's a burden, or seems like it's a burden, to ask somebody to come and help. Can you come help me do this, or come help me do that? And it acts like it, they act like it's a burden, but yet you proclaim to be a Christ follower, you proclaim to be a born again believer, but yet you can't serve with gladness. And get to celebrate in the blessings of what God's done and what's to come. Few of us gathered here and worked on the kitchen, and I only invited a few because I didn't need a whole lot. And but we had music playing, we had laughter, we had some really good fellowship. I got to pick on a couple of folks, and you know that's always a good thing. If you want, we have fun when we get together here. It's always fun. If you want to know the definition of fun, it was burying this line, internet line, from back there across to the outpost. Because that was all hands on deck. And we have laughed, and we got dirty and nasty. And it's over there. But we have fun. We have gladness and joy when we serve and when we do the Lord's work. Was putting the internet over there necessary for the Lord's work? Probably not, but it sure does make it easier. Look around at the people here that we're missing this morning. There are so many folks here that are sick, that have had incidents that they can't come to church. They need some help. Reach out, you know. Hey, send them a text. Make a phone call. I sent one of them a message this morning. He'll probably never reply to me, but that's okay. I sent it. Ask if you can help. Is there something you can do? Is there something I can bring you? It's all about that service. Our team relies, our mission team is going to rely on folks like you to keep us covered in prayer. You don't have to go to Peru. You don't have to pack a Christmas child box. You can cover that in prayer, and that's service. You're still worshiping God through your prayers, through that type of service. Our team is going to go to Peru in a few months and build houses and walk on some different terrains, and we really need your prayers for safety, for taking care of us. Because service is faith in action. And whenever we engage in service, we're preaching God's word by being the hands and feet in service to those around us. And we do it with thanksgiving as we enter his gate. So the last one is entering with our priorities. And this one is the one that has gnawed on me the most this week. Because I am bad on fixating and hyper-fixating on something. Saturdays for me, and or for myself and Felicia, I'll not lie to you. We get up, we have a cup of coffee, and it's church until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Every aspect of the kids' ministry is planned. Every aspect of youth ministry is planned. Messages are prepared. Music's prepared. Whatever is going on, food. We've had folks that have stepped in to help us, and it takes the pain off of it a little bit. But you hyperfixate on stuff. Priorities. Ministry has gotten in the way for me before because you think, okay, I'm putting God's ministry. This is my job. This is the only job I have. I'm putting it first. It's got to go. And you bulldoze over everything else. And you end up missing the biggest piece of ministry. You left your family behind. You left your wife. Not paying attention. You left your kids. I worked for AT&T for 9 years. You don't literally leave them. You just leave them behind because you hyperfixate on stuff. I worked for AT&T for 9 years and worked. When I say worked, I worked. I'll not lie to you. The year Katrina hit, I made $125,000. I worked that much. It was 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. Who suffered? My church, God, my wife, my kids. Was we eating well? No. We were in debt. Because the more money you make, the more money you spend. It consumes us. Have I been close to divorce? A couple of times, yes. From losing focus, losing sight, because my priorities wasn't right. But God is always faithful. He always reins us back in, slaps us around a little bit sometimes, but sometimes that's what it takes. Our culture, you know, we are a fast-paced culture. Nothing's like it used to be. Man, I remember when I didn't even have a cell phone. Now I have two. And Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, clouds everything. Clouds your priorities, clouds your judgment. I mean, you don't believe this thing gets in the way? Google what's your little toe aching and it'll tell you have liver cancer. Please. Man, this thing is not right. It's for entertainment purposes. But that's what we use it for. We get lost in it. We get lost in our jobs. We get lost in our sports. We get lost in our extracurricular activities. We get lost in hunting. We get lost in our social media, and we lose sight of what's important. We lose sight of our family. But most of all, we lose sight of God. And we're supposed to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, but the only thing we're thanking him for is that check that could be just a little bit bigger next week. Or that game that we could have got 4 more home runs on. Or I saw what Aunt Joe did on Facebook, and I can't believe she did that. Y'all, I'm sorry. I just had an epiphany. If Aunt Benny had Facebook, I couldn't tell you what that would be. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why that popped in there. But anyway, we lose sight of it. It's God first. Our priority is always God first. Then our spouse, if we have one. Our family, our kids, our extended family, then our church. Work is way down the pole. Because I had a supervisor one time tell me that Satan will cause dysfunction in every family. And he told me, he said, here's the deal. You can be the very best at your profession. You can be the very best ball player. You can be the very best, I'm an emergency manager. You can be the very best farmer, worship leader, pastor, whatever, and give your whole life to it. And the day that you die, your job description will be posted before your obituary. And that is the truth, y'all. It will. And the only person that's going to miss you is your wife and kids. And that was a sobering reality for me. Because I love to make money. But I have been humbled by the Lord to not worry about it because I don't. I don't care. I work a lowly job for the state of Mississippi and I work here. And this is not work. This is love. I do this because I enjoy it. I spend time with your youth and minister to Jackson and Laney and Noah and the others because I love it. And Emily, I didn't forget you, baby. I love it. I do it for nothing. I have done it for nothing. Getting to see that little Henderson back there every week. I mean, that's, to me, that's the future. Brother Larry has stood up here many a time, right, and held that baby and said, this is the future, right here. They're coming back, y'all. They are. And we're not going to let up. We're going to attack all this stuff that gets in our way, that clouds our mind. We have to make that joyful noise. We have to enter into his gates with our priorities and gladness. Because there is nothing. God gave me my wife, and he gave me my kids. He gave me my in-laws and my mom and daddy and my grandma and grandpa's. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for it. Love it. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for each one of them. Because in some way, shape, form, or fashion, and all of you, y'all have shaped me. Because this was not me when I left here in 2007. This was not me to stand up here. God's done where I, brought me to where I'm at. And we can do nothing without him. That cultural clutter gets in our way. So, in conclusion, make a joyful noise to the Lord and serve our Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, the only God, and that he is who made us, and we are his. No matter what, we are his. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with worship, raising our voices in praise. Enter his gates with service as we joyfully are the hands and feet of God. Because we may be the only God that some people see. Enter his gates with priorities, placing God first, and then our spouse, our children, our family, church, and everything else to avoid life clutter that gets in our way. Put your social media down. I like to know what everybody's doing too, but sometimes we just need to focus a little bit on God, and he don't have a Facebook page. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and he is faithful to all the generations. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this day, for each person that's here, Lord, for your word. Lord, help something that I said make sense this morning, Lord, and work in it in a special way. Father God, I love you and I praise you. And I just give this day to you. Lord, thank you for each person that's here. And I am so thankful, Lord, and humbled that you've put me where I'm at. And I thank you, Father, for this church family and the love that I have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.